Actually, I'll just do a little testing here.
Testing, testing. This is me.
I don't know. That's why.
No, I want all this.
That's scary.
I want all this. Right. I want this. Yeah.
That's how you want it?
Hey, Jason. How are you doing today?
Yeah.
What's going on in this? No, I'm sorry. I have to adjust it again. All right. How about that?
You really...
Is that better?
Yeah, you really like your tech. I guess
I do like some good technology, some useful technology. I like the useful kind. I don't know, as I've gotten older, I think the kind of technology adoption has shifted, but I've always been a somewhat early adopter. I've always been curious, mm-hmm. like, how does this work? How does that work? But that's shifted now. It's much more utilitarian now.
Well, getting in on it early is the only time that you ever get a chance to use it. Use it functionally before they turn it into some kind of capitalist endeavor.
Oh, it's already as soon as we can get it in our hands, it's already a...
Oh no, I remember when I had my first iPhone.
Yeah.
How easy it was to maneuver that thing and use it as a tool.
Yeah.
And now it's not really a tool, it's a distraction.
It's too useful. So in my case, since I do video work for my wife's business, I use exclusively iPhones, mm-hmm. and it's because it's just the cameras on it are fantastic. I can't do a certain level of quality that, mm-hmm. that you need to get a real camera for,
sure.
but it can do just about anything we need.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. It's, not something I'm going to give up, I think, because there's a business use for it. I did look when the kids I was considering getting phones for the kids, so they would have been in high school. I was looking for phones that had only texting, you know, phone call. You can make a phone call and a map,
mm-hmm.
like some kind of GPS capability. Just those three. No other apps. No, not even a calculator. Like nothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't find anything.
That doesn't exist. Yeah.
Oh boy! But if they made that exist, they'd sell them. It's just they couldn't monetize all the apps and all the other stuff that would go with it.
If you want to get a phone that is not a smartphone, and you go into a phone shop,
mm-hmm.
You have to beg them to give you one.
Really?
They have them there.
They do.
But they are not going to give it to you unless you demand that that's what you want. And prove to them that you're incapable, I guess, of
using anything else.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if for my kids, all I need is to be able to call them. I think being able to text them is really helpful. And for them to be able to text their friends is really helpful. And for them to have a map they can use. Beyond that, don't need any of it. I mean, you can make an argument you don't need any of those three things either. But that kind of connection keeps you going.
Well,
maybe an internet browser. Maybe.
You can argue that you need all those things too.
In today's world, yes.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
They
or maybe they do.
Your perspective.
No, yeah. Yes, yeah, no. My perspective, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. They'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
They you cope adapt, you borrow your friend's device, you open up your laptop. Oh my gosh, they've got everything they need.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see the social function of having those access. I see that.
I don't need my phone. There's occasion when somebody calls me or I need to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
But if I need to make a phone call, I could probably use the phone that's at the house that never leaves the house.
Right,
it's just
right.
there.
Yeah, yeah. There is a, I think there's a great benefit in taking a long break from various types of technology. I think there's a great benefit in that. I've found it's harder to do now. Like, I remember Lent series preaching where I would make a whole church, you know, opportunity to turn off things. And we would do that. It might be social media. It might be just disconnecting, or you and your family disconnect for a whole day, you know, every Friday or something like that. And it would work. That idea just seems more difficult now. And not because I want it more, but because of, well, for example, how do your friends and family members contact you right now?
I guess sometimes I notice on Facebook, or actually somebody tells me, oh, they're trying to get a hold of you.
Okay, a Facebook message,
yeah.
Maybe. Texting.
Yeah.
Phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Email. What else you got? Anything else?
Just trying to think. Who is trying to contact me? It's always work.
Okay.
So that work is the main thing.
That's four routes.
Yeah.
Four things we got to kind of keep an eye on, right?
Yeah, and you have to address at least three of them in order to actually be sure that you've gotten a hold of that person.
And then there's Instagram messaging, which I think that's still Messenger, but I see it differently if I'm looking for it. And then I swear, well, in my case, I've got multiple email addresses because I've got my business one, I've got my church one, and then I've got my personal one. So I'm running out of fingers here to count all of these, right? So I have a policy. Facebook and Instagram messages, I don't check them. It's a policy. I just don't check them. If I happen to see something, maybe, but I just don't. It's not a good way to get a hold of me. And part of it was at a previous church, there were people who were expecting to get a hold of me any which way, any of those ways on my finger.
Yeah.
They were expecting. And so if I didn't respond, well, now they're offended.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to make an announcement. Look, just so you know, y'all know, like, if you have my phone number, you can text me or you can call me. Mm-hmm. If you have my email, you can email me. But just so you know, I don't check my Facebook messages. I don't check my Instagram messages. Mm-hmm. And my stress went down. I don't know about theirs, but my stress went down. I didn't realize how stressful it was.
You have to have a limit of where your communications come from.
Yeah. Oh, and leaving messages in the office. That's another one that they can reach me that way. So, yeah, I just had never paid attention to my stress levels regarding notifications. And I don't mean the digital notifications. I mean all the kinds of ways I'm notified. Hey, you owe someone a phone call, an email, your time, whatever. And when those are coming from seven different directions.
That's how nice it was before there was answering machines.
Yeah, I just, humans aren't built that way.
Yeah. You like accepted the fact that, oh, they're not home.
That's right. So I'll leave a message. And so I will
wait.
Or
there wasn't a chance to leave a message. I'll have to try to get a hold of them another or some other time.
Yep. Or maybe I'm just an old now. And as my kids would say, I'm just an old now. And but I'm telling you, humans aren't wired that way. I don't care if you grew up with it or not. In our case, in our age range, we did grow up with it. As each new technology was added, we adopted and we grew up with it. But I don't think the human brain is wired that way. Not well, anyway.
I don't know. It's wired the way that it ends up being wired, I think.
So, oh, rewired. Yeah.
So maybe for you versus your children, there was a lot of rewiring that happened. Mm. For them, maybe not so much, only that there's, I don't know, they go to specific things.
I think there is such a value.
They're born with that anxiety of communications.
That could be. But no, I think there's such a value in human connection, the face-to-face. I'll take voice to voice over the phone too, or video. I'll take that too. But really the in-person face to face is such a premium. Mm-hmm. It is so valuable, so much better, that I wonder, I don't know that society will ever get back to making that the premium.
I feel like it's pretty much abandoned. If you go to somebody's house and you knock on the door, they're not going to answer the door.
Yeah.
You have to stand on the other side. They're not going to answer the door.
True.
You got to send them a text message before you arrive.
We text me before you're coming over. Yeah.
No, you have to. I know I won't answer the door.
Yeah.
Like, if it's somebody I know, they would have already messaged me that I know they're coming. But yeah. If it's not somebody I know.
But that personal connection, if someone can get in front of me or I can get in front of someone and you can hear the intonations and you can see the body language and you can smell the room and it's just, you can get more done that way, more agreed upon that way.
Sure.
More remembered that way. Oh my goodness. You remember conversations much better.
Well, all the stress of all the other communications that you believe that you need to have standing in front of somebody and talking to them seems like this takes too much time.
Yeah.
And thinking about those emails that you have to answer detracts from that moment.
Which, I mean, maybe when we were writing letters, answering letters all the time. Oh, letters. There's the other notifications that I get. Hey, okay, so now I'm past 10 letters. Fingers. I do get letters, but not handwritten. But no, just there was a time when you would answer your mail, you know, write letters and then move on. But still, just that face-to-face. I've been thinking about this a lot. Church membership, church attendance became more digitalized, more rapidly with COVID, but it was already happening before. Mm-hmm. You remember that. But then, you know, all the churches go online for COVID and all that stuff. But there's such a cheapening that happens in that interaction. It's not human.
There is some positive things that happen from that interaction.
Okay.
That person,
remind me, please.
Because that person who's now feels like they have that connection doesn't stress over feeling disconnected.
Okay. Okay. There's that.
They know that they're just a text message away, or they don't have to plan something out to get a voice out.
You know? Yeah.
One nice thing about Facebook is I feel like I have a connection to these people who I would never think that I have a connection to anymore.
So there is that. Yeah. There is that. Yeah.
And I don't know. It is nice to be able to, you know, have that moment in your day where you're thinking about somebody who you remembered spending lots of great time with and you don't spend any time with them.
I do dig that. Yeah.
You have some, I don't know, they posted it. Somehow it's shared.
Yeah. So the original purpose of Facebook, not the original purpose. Yeah. I think Mark Zuckerberg's original purposes.
Is business related.
Okay. The original use by the users, you know, it's basically just a digital photo album and occasional, you know, say a message to someone or hear from a friend or something like that. I don't know that when I initially used Facebook, I had any intention of spending a lot of time on it. And then I did. And it changed in that way in my mind.
Yeah, I remember seeing Facebook in the very early years.
What, 2008, 2009, something like that? 2007. Oh, you were early. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, where it was literally just, you have put up a photo and your name was attached to it. And maybe there was a short bio that gave you
like an online bulletin board.
Yeah.
Like the old online bulletin boards. Yeah.
But it was just designed where you saw the picture. That's what you saw.
Yeah.
You didn't just flipped through photos of people.
Yeah.
There was no other real information. You had to dig a little bit maybe to find that out. And people didn't necessarily put a lot of information into that.
Yeah. What are we talking about? So
listeners, we
did not discuss what we were going to be talking about today. We just started talking and we found ourselves on topics of what do we got? Communication.
Yeah.
What real communication is, how we relate with notifications. And then we started getting into face to face versus online.
Yeah. you know, I think the thing with communications is there's just so much of it. Like you were going through your list, all these things.
Yeah,
there's,
yeah.
Just so much of it. So you don't, like you're saying, when you sit with somebody personal, face to face, you're focused on that person.
Yeah.
And most of our communications are just momentary. Mm. They don't require very much investment in what is being shared. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, we didn't evolve for that kind of communication.
Yeah.
I don't think. I think we evolved for gathering around the fire, talking, sharing our day, telling stories, singing songs, mm-hmm. playing silly games. We didn't evolve.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the lack of physical proximity causes everything to happening only in your head.
Ah, there you go.
So it's not like I was saying, you know, oh, there's this shared thing, but it's not really shared between me and that person. That person's shared it with their knowledge of sending it out there. They don't know who is responding to it.
Yeah. So that shared conversation is only in your head.
Yeah.
It's only what you think is shared.
Mm-hmm. And it's comforting personally, but it's not engaging or having meaning.
It's not meaty. It doesn't have that bite to it. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot lately. Actually, it hasn't been a recent thing. It's been a while. Just the idea of how congregations gather together and share parts of their life together. Used to be the phrase "do life together," which I mm-hmm. it always sounds so. It's a slogan. It's a bumper sticker. But sharing parts of their life together, that enrichment I think is unique in our lives. That intentional regular pattern of being around each other physically mm-hmm. is fairly unique in life. There aren't a whole lot of examples of that. There's, you can buy a ticket for a performance and be around people.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of those, but that's not the same thing as what congregational, and I'll say that any kind of faith community, not just Christian, but any kind of faith community is kind of unique.
Well, just in the lines of what we've been talking about, something that I noticed on our live stream, and this might be something for you to think about, is that I started making sure it puts up little blips. So I make sure a little blip comes up that says, say hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then as soon as somebody says hello, I put their blip up.
Oh yeah.
Which then inspires somebody else to say hello.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And then sometimes it's like everybody who's watching, they all want to say hello. Just
so good.
They feel like they've interacted with the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think, at the cantata, this last cantata,
mm-hmm.
I think you specifically addressed the online listeners
mm-hmm.
or viewers.
I don't always remember to do that.
Yeah, and yeah. I didn't notice, but so many of them had responded to that. And I don't know. I mean, they think that's something you should think about.
Should probably do that more often. Yeah, I remember.
Every once in a while, just check to see if they're listening.
I remember when COVID first, when we first went online,
mm-hmm.
we intentionally made a habit of, in the welcome, yeah. you have to address the audience at home. And I understood why we did that.
Mm-hmm.
It always felt hard for me. For some reason, it felt hard for me. I'm looking at a camera in a mm-hmm. room. In our case, their cameras are on the other side of a really long room.
Yeah.
And so I have to conjure in my mind an image of people at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very hard for me to do, but I did it. And then I got out of that habit. And then I shifted it
mm-hmm.
because I realized what I was doing was just doing it because it was in the script. I was like, that's not what I want to do. That's not kind of pastor I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then we were coming up with games that we would play. So games we would play with the at-home congregation. Like if they could find the word, I had a mm-hmm. hidden word that I posted in view of the screen. If they could find the hidden word. You know, just little things mm-hmm. to do that. We had fun with that. We had the Q&A where you know, I would invite those who were online to ask a question. And if we saw it in time, because you don't always see it in time,
yeah,
you know, I'd sneak an answer into either the sermon or some other part of the worship service. That was actually really funny. That was really funny, because it would come out like, okay, we'd take the offering. And if I had it, I'd be like, just as the Nephilim were feared by the incoming Israelites, so do we. And then so the question was, what are the Nephilim?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I would find a way to sneak that in. And uh-huh. it was a lot of fun. I think I enjoy that more than.
You probably had a lot more people watching.
That was at a time when just about everybody was. Yeah.
I mean, it's on a good day, we've got, I'll say, 8 people who are watching it. And I should know exactly who those people are.
Actually, during the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another way of communication. It's funny. I studied communication. I was in the field of communication. It was my career for a while. And then it shifted to a different kind of communication when I became a pastor. And then shifted back when I started doing that work again. I don't think I'll ever be a Luddite. I don't think I'll ever be against technology.
That's what a Luddite is?
Luddite. Yeah, it's kind of the... I'm not going to use new technology, would I say Luddite. But I am more discerning than I used to be. I think the face-to-face opportunities just are really... I really look forward to those now. I really do.
Well, you know, technology happens. It's not good or bad.
Yeah.
It's
how you use it. Yeah.
It's how you use it and how you let yourself be used by it. Because unfortunately, we do live in a society that benefits off of advantage of your attention.
It's true. Well, and I think technology isn't neutral either in a way. Was it Marshall McLuhan said the medium is a message? I think that was his phrase. That idea that the medium itself can mold you and not necessarily in a neutral way, but it can change how you think and act and relate. And that, I think, is kind of what we've been talking about today. Just how
it's very relative to the church.
Yeah, it is.
Considering that, I don't know, there's different entities out there who push technology and the ability to communicate to as many people as possible. And the church is one of the leading ones.
Church is one of those. Yep. Yeah. So we make it as positive as we can. We use what makes sense. And I think we privilege opportunities for people to become face-to-face when we can.
Yeah.
And when you can't, then you use technology to make connections as best you can. Like this podcast right now.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Maybe someday we'll have some video. We'll be, I don't know.
It's not that hard. The editing of it's not that hard. It's easier to edit video, I think, than it is to edit audio.
Yeah.
Once you get it synced, Yeah. It's just a camera angle.
Well, and rearranging this room a little bit.
Yeah, I like the room. It is actually surprisingly quiet in this room.
Yeah.
I think it was designed that way.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Somebody did this intentionally.
Yes, and somewhere in mid-70s, this became the sort of like counselor's room, and they put in all this soundproofing.
So previous pastor wanted to make this a counseling room.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, yeah, that explains the soft walls. Well, really, that's pretty much it, the soft walls.
Yeah. And the color of them, mid-70s.
True. And the chairs. Yeah, we could turn this into a little studio. Actually, if that were the case, I wouldn't change the color of the walls at all.
No.
We would just accent.
Yeah, maybe
some spotlights. Hmm, that sounds nice, Jason. Let's do that.
Yeah. All right. We'll use our xylophone to cue in and out. So
good idea. So should we introduce ourselves since we didn't actually introduce ourselves?
Well, I'm Jason.
I'm Chris. And welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. What do you call it?
Wait. Don't tell me.
No. But that's a good name for a podcast.
I think that'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Hey, anybody listening?
That's what it is. Welcome to Hey, anybody listening, folks. And turns out we're talking about communication today.
Yeah. It matters where you communicate your information to.
It does.
Whether it's at the beginning or the end.
Even if it is at the end, it does matter.
Oh, it's good to have it at the end. That's the last thing you remember.
Yep.
All right. Well, the weather's nice out there. Enjoy it.
Agreed.
Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
Forward to chatting again in the next episode of Hey, anybody listening?
Beautiful.